welcome to the gospel service tonight. We're going to make a start as we come to the house of the Lord. We're going to sing together 331, one of my favourite hymns. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. I've been looking forward all week to this hymn being sung tonight. Let's sing it out to the Lord's praise, and we keep our seats as we sing. Tonight in the Saviour's great name. I'm going to bow together in prayer and seek the Lord tonight. Let us pray. Let us rejoice tonight in God's mercies and grace towards us. I might just announce, if you're not used to coming under the new circumstances, that the toilet that is available in cases of emergency during the service is the one toilet just behind that wall. It's the disabled toilet. The other toilets are closed. And we're asking you not to loiter after the meeting. That is, in the aisles or in the porch. But you can go outside, beautiful Sunday night as it is, and you can talk for hours outside if you wish. But let us pray. Almighty God and gracious Father, we bow in your presence in Jesus' precious name. We come to this place that is known as the house of prayer. My house shall be called the house of prayer unto all nations. A place where we can meet with God, draw near to him in the attitude of prayer. And we have the right and the authority to do so through the merit of Christ. We thank thee that there is one in the glory who represents us, prays for us, who has an eye upon us every day, and a special eye right now upon this congregation. For as we meet in his name, he is delighted to be in the center of such a gathering. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And we do believe that to bless. Jesus Christ, we say tonight, stand among us in your risen power. Let us know and sense in our hearts that the Lord is here. We pray that thou would rid us in our hearts of anything that would hinder the blessing not only coming generally, but coming specifically to our own hearts. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed in Calvary, and prepare our hearts and our minds, our whole being tonight, for the worship of God. We thank thee for the gospel of Christ. We thank thee that the gospel will be preached in the world until Jesus comes. And we thank thee, Lord, that through the nations that message is being proclaimed. You have sent out missionaries. You have ordained preachers to go at your command. You have also raised up within the nations of the world a people for thyself who are proclaiming Christ every day. And Jesus Christ is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is a special day because it is the Lord's day. It's a day when people gather like this into the house of God, right across the face of the world. And it's a day that God owns in a very powerful way. And we know that on this day, as the gospel is preached, that the Lord is pleased to save those who believe. And we pray, Lord, that this night, this very day, and we know that we have different time zones through the world, but where the gospel is being proclaimed at the different times, Lord, may there be an ingathering. May Christ be glorified in the saving of sinners. May his name be exalted among the nations. And may his name be exalted here tonight. Help us to make much of Christ in our worship, in our singing, in our praise, in the preaching of your word. And should there be any among us outside of Christ still in their sin, Lord, save them. You've been working in their heart. Undoubtedly, your word has had an effect upon them as they've listened to the witness that has been made, as they've heard the messages being proclaimed. O Lord, surely thou art working in these days. We pray that you will press them into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and may they strive to enter in, as Jesus says. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt work with power, therefore, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, bringing conviction, bringing concern, and true conversion. Hear this, our prayer, and bless us as a people tonight in the house of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a projector that is, I said this morning, on loan, but I think the right term is we've hired it for a few days. So this projector is going back, and it has made a world of a difference. The old projector of 14 years ago was a projector that I think from memory had 4,500 lumens. So that is the brightness of the projector. And it did well in the evening or when the clouds were there, and we mostly used it at the missionary weekend. But you have discovered that it doesn't do very well in the sunshine and when all the lights are on. And we struggled a few weeks with it until we got this one, and it has made the world of a difference. This projector has 7,000 lumen. And the one that we hope to get has 8,000 lumen. All right? And if you go to 10,000, it actually doubles in price. So to get one at 8,000, it's going to cost £7,000. There was a minister one time, he was making an appeal for the building fund, and they needed, I can't remember, £150,000. And he said, well, that's the bad news, but the good news is we have the money, but the money is in your pockets. It's in your bank. And that's how he made his appeal for the building fund. Well, I don't know whether I'm bold enough to be able to say that we have the money for the projector, but if you want to help with it, we're going to have this means of projecting our hymns for the foreseeable future. This way may continue for months now, but if you can help out with this, we'd really appreciate it. And we will be making an appeal probably for new cameras as well. Our cameras have done well for 14 years, but people tune in to these other churches, you know, like Macrofelt, and they say, look at Macrofelt. We've got Macrofelt people here tonight. And then look at yours. And they compare the two. And they say Ballymena's good as well. So we probably have to upgrade so that whenever we're broadcasting and people are looking for you, they can see your wrinkles and the grey hair, and it's not just a blare anymore. But we'll let you know about that whenever the news comes in. I want to welcome you to the meeting tonight. We've had Yule and Arlene visiting with us today, and we have other visitors in tonight, and we bid you welcome in the Saviour's name. We are glad to have Alistair and Sarah and their family, and our hearts are still with the Graham family circle. It's the Brown family that are here tonight, but Wesley Graham, of course, was the father of Sarah and her siblings, and we sympathise with them. It's been a great loss to the Free Church and to the missionary work. But you're worshipping with us tonight. Trust the Lord will bless you. Thursday night is the prayer meeting. Alejandro Bernabeu is planning to be here to bring his second message. I was just asking how Vanessa was tonight. Vanessa is due a third child in the next few days. It's maybe about a week's time. About a week's time. So anything can happen. And it can happen suddenly. And I'm told one of these other two men are on standby. So I don't know whether it's David or Jonathan on standby. If you ask David, he said it's Jonathan. If you ask John, he said it's David. So I'm sort of confused. But if there is an emergency, we'll hear about it. And we'll make sure someone's here to preach on Thursday night. Next Lord's Day, we gather for worship at 12 noon. The gospel meeting is at 7. And in between, we want to have the open air every August. We go out into the community to various parts of the town to preach the gospel. And we're due in the Glebe side, just behind us here, next Lord's Day. And for testimony's sake, we will sort of keep ourselves apart, social distance. But the gospel will be preached, and we trust will be heard and understood and acted upon. Thank you for bringing in your tithes and offerings and for your faithfulness to the Lord's work. And for the missionary gifts that we mentioned this morning, we want to acknowledge them and thank you sincerely. We do continue to pray for the Hegarty family, Lisa and Andrew and all their loved ones, their family circle, and the deaths of their grandmother, Mrs. Hegarty. We want you to be much in prayer for the Summer Youth Challenge online this year. And the Reverend Joshua Moffat and Phil Harden are the speakers. There's the junior and the senior broadcast that will be going out. We need our children to sign up for this so that we have the figure near the time. So please attend to that as soon as you can. Continue to pray for what is being done in the mission field. Because of COVID-19, there are those that are struggling far more than what we are in this country, as you can imagine. And we have helped at Emmanuel, the container project. I just showed these slides, if you didn't see them this morning, has come on amazingly over the past week. And this is what it's now looking like on the exterior. And then inside, they have equipped it well and finished it well. A little bit more work to be done. The emergency food distribution has taken place in Nepal. And we had the opportunity to preach in Pakistan again this morning. And this was part of the folks that were able to minister to the congregation was fed after the church. So they'd have this big pot of rice, a rice dish. I'm not too sure what's all in it, but the people are delighted to receive it. And the kids, of course, don't know whether you would share a plate like that and just eat with your hands, but this is the way the children there do it. So pray for the work and the opportunities that we have. And the families went home with a little bag of food as well to help them in these difficult times. And that's them really just saying thank you to those who have contributed. And so we say thank you on their behalf. I know that this lady goes out to speak to these tribal people. She travelled 500 kilometres today on rough roads, roads that were slippery and difficult to travel on, and took a long time to get there. She leaves very, very early on a Sunday morning to go out to bring the gospel to these people. You pray for her. That was me preaching to them. She took these on her phone and sent them to me. So after you preach, she will bring me around different people and say to me, will you pray for these people? Will you pray? You know, sometimes the requests are strange. We would not be used to these kind of requests at home. But this mother here on the left-hand side, down the bottom left, and her daughter in the blue on the right-hand side, daughter is 14. You know, she wants prayer that she is able to marry her daughter very, very soon. Because over in this country, the landlords who are Muslims very often kidnap their children, take them away, and they are abused. But if they get them married, and Pakistan, you can get married from 14, then it kind of protects them that little bit. So it was a very strange prayer. I didn't pray that the Lord would give her a husband, just the Lord would protect her and keep her in these days. And we spoke to Freya Sunday School class this afternoon, and these were the children that we had the opportunity to share the message of the gospel with. You remember the distribution of the food to the orphans in India. This is ongoing, and the pastors are thankful for the emergency food packages that they have received. We showed you these this morning, but again, for your benefit and encouragement, and also to solicit your prayers, we show them tonight. This is just a sample of the pastors. This dear man passed away. We were praying for him. He contracted COVID-19 and he died on Friday and was buried that afternoon. This other man who was a missionary in Cambodia came home because of the virus, had to quarantine, but during that time of isolation, he was diagnosed with COVID-19, hospitalized and passed away on Friday. So, like in this country, leaving behind family members, I want you to pray for these widows and for their children. The distribution of the food in India to the poor pastors and families is beginning again this week. These slides were sent to me today. So the food has been purchased and in the store and will be assembled and sent out. Special prayer has been requested. The next 3 months will be challenging. The volunteers are not sure if they will be able to cross the river during the monsoon. And you'll not maybe be able to hear it. It's really just the water running anyhow. But this is how it is now. But when the monsoon comes and it started over the next 3 months, it's going to be difficult to get across rivers like this and get the food out to the needy. So they're asking for special prayer that you will remember those who are in need. Many Christian workers, you're probably able to read this yourself, and missionaries have been praying that the government constructs a road which will connect the villages at the foothill to hamlets on the top, the hilltop. The commencement of a road project in this area is a definite answer to prayer. It is believed that it will improve the gospel's outreach and also make relief work easier. So they're praising God for his mysterious providence that these roads are being created and able to connect people with the gospel. I'm going to sing together 598, Face to Face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me?
Seats.
and we're going to sing that final verse again. Father, we thank thee for the believer. There's coming the day when we shall see thee face to face. We thank thee that we shall gaze upon our Redeemer who loves us so. We can say now in the words of Paul, he loved me and he gave himself for me. And one day we're going to look into the face of this Christ who bled and died upon the cross of Calvary to save us from our sins. We pray that thou wilt bless your word tonight as we come in a moment to read the scriptures, as we come to preach the gospel. Help us to settle down into this meeting. We pray that you will shed thy mighty self abroad and grant us the power and ministry of God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This final verse before we come to the word. Tonight is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the opening 11 verses. It's so good to see you in God's house. It's so good to see our families together, sitting together. It's good to see Luke right up here at the front. I just watched the smile as he came down knowing he was going to sit right there. Good to see you tonight. I have encouraged our people since this building was opened to pray that you would take a pew and ask God to fill it. Now, maybe COVID-19 has brought that about. Maybe you have been praying that God will fill this pew, that pew, or the other. Joanna, you're sitting in the pew that I've been praying for. And nearly every Sunday now, every Sunday, in fact, this pew has been filled. But it took the virus to do it. But what we want to see when things come back to normal is the in-between pews filled as well, and for a great revival to take place in this town that we love. Now, let's read the Word of God as we have it here in 2 Corinthians in the chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Ending the reading there at the 11th verse. We said this morning we want to preach on the apostles' focus upon the future, and we're going to take the 8th verse particularly as our text. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Many opportunities have been given to us to to all of us in the midst of COVID-19 pandemic days to find new ministries or at least opportunities to serve the Lord in whatever way we could. With lockdown, churches closed, visitation prohibited, much of our effort was now serving the Lord remotely. So it was the internet, Facebook, sermon audio, WhatsApp, these things. We continued to broadcast all the services here. Only now 99.9% of the congregation were on the internet. Nobody was able to come to the meetings here publicly. We had Paul up there doing the work, and we were very thankful for that. We also developed the video cast ministry, and every day over that period of lockdown, the videos were going out. Phone calls from the office bearers of the church going out to our seniors. Opportunities given to preach in Pakistan over the internet. And much help, as you've seen tonight, even in the slides given to the poor through the appeal made by the mission board. I noticed others developing singing ministries and music ministries. Sometimes it was a group, and it was done very cleverly. If you've seen them, they weren't able to be together, but individually they were recorded and obviously done in the right time, and all the voices were brought together, the music was brought together, and it sounded so well. And then others, some ministers and their wives, they developed these duets, you see, they were singing together. Somebody contacted me and asked me when Susan and I were going to start singing, when we were going to start our ministry. And after giving it some very serious consideration for 5 seconds, we decided that we wouldn't do that. You'll probably be glad about that. Anyhow, during the past week, I came across a lady who was playing a beautiful piece on the piano, a hymn that I loved. And I listened to it and I was blessed by it. And hearing the music, the words began to sound out in my mind and in my heart. We sang it tonight. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And I was taken away, as it were, by the Spirit to contemplate heaven. The mansions, bright and blessed, hymn writer speaks about it in that beautiful hymn, the place prepared for the Lord's people, and how that one day the shadows and the sighs will be gone, and we will behold the beauty of Christ when the pearly gates will open and we shall tread the streets of gold. Oh, it is a great hope, isn't it? And the expectation of the Christian. There are some key passages on the subject of heaven that are filled with wonderful detail and cause our hearts to rejoice when we contemplate the glories that will be revealed one day. John 14, the words of Christ as he speaks about his Father's house and the place of many mansions. Revelation chapter 7, where we see the great multitude gathered around the throne of God in heaven, singing praises to the Lord, clothed in white garments and rejoicing in the Lamb and the shedding of the blood. Revelation chapter 21 and 22, things that are yet to be, and many of those descriptions indeed, speaking about those great days of the future when the Lord will make all things new. And those chapters tell us much about the comforts and the blessings, the glory and the beauty of heaven. And of course here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, these descriptions that I've read with you tonight. And here the Apostle Paul is rejoicing in the future hope of the believer. The believer's death when his earthly house will be dismantled. And he will be transported to that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The child of God will be clothed upon with a house from heaven, a glorified body. He groans for that day. And that groaning is in the midst of the burdens of this fleeting life on earth as he longs to be with Christ in glory when mortality is swallowed up of life. And here is the confident assurance of the redeemed of God in this text this evening in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And I ask you tonight in this meeting, is this your assurance? Is this your confidence? Is this your certain hope? I fear for some you are out of Christ. You're still in your sin. You're unready. You're unrepentant. You're undone in God's sight. As I was contemplating the words of the hymn, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be," I thought to myself, that song cannot be sung with confidence by all people, because we're not all going to heaven. Only those that are redeemed and saved by the grace of God, as we know. As we ponder Paul's focus upon the future, and tonight I want you to consider carefully what he's saying, and I want you to ask, are these words true of you? Can you declare the words of verse 8 with absolute certainty? You've got this confidence that one day it's going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I want you to notice what Paul is speaking about in this text. He's first of all talking about departure, absent from the body. This little phrase is simply referring to that moment of death when we depart this life, when our soul and our body are separated the one from the other. That's what death is. The body is the tabernacle or the tent, as we mentioned this morning, that houses the soul, the immortal, precious, never-dying soul. And one day, the day of our death, that day that is appointed by God and written down in his calendar, the soul will be absent from the body. It will leave its earthly house. It will go out into eternity. And of course, this is something that will be the experience of all. This is something each one of us have in common tonight, whether we're saved or not saved. It's the common portion of all mankind, rich and poor, high and low, old and young, black and white, religious or irreligious. There will come that moment in the experience of every human being throughout the nations of the world, whether we believe in God or not, whether we go to church or not, whether we believe in eternity or not, when we shall be absent from the body. And that is death. Here's an appointment that you and I must keep. It's appointed unto man once to die. One day, God will call the soul from the body, from the earthly tabernacle. And you'll obey that call. There's nothing that you can do to prevent it. And that moment, that day is already settled. And the sovereignty of Almighty God, that day when you will depart from this life, that day when you will be absent from the body. So Paul is speaking here about his departure. But he's also speaking about delight, because he says present with the Lord. Now the first part is certain of all men, absent from the body. But only the true believer in Christ has the confidence of the second part, to be present with the Lord. Sinners who die in their sin, unbelieving and unrepentant, will not be present with the Lord. Of this we can be sure. The Bible is abundantly certain in this matter. There is no room for believing anything else. God has written it. He has declared it. He has ordered it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that death for the unbeliever is eternal death. For though we can rejoice in the future state of the righteous, the future experience of the ungodly is uniquely solemn and dreadful and unchangeable. The blessed Savior who says, "Come," to his people, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," is the same Savior who declares, "Depart." from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Our wonderful Lord, who gave himself as a ransom for our sin upon the cross, who is love incarnate, never forget that, not only spoke of the glories of heaven, his Father's house, but solemnly warned of the miseries of hell, where the soul will sink in everlasting doom and despair. Jesus said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He told us that there is a place where men are cast out into utter darkness, into everlasting punishment. Jesus Christ has declared it. But the believer, praise God, will be present with the Lord. Oh, that moment when we close our eyes upon the earth in the sleep of death, when the soul departs from its earthly tent, the believer flies to his eternal rest and glory to be present with the Lord. That's why Jesus said to the repentant thief upon the cross, who found mercy in his last hours, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This is what Jesus had promised. Not long before his crucifixion in John chapter 12, Jesus says, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Where I am. Jesus was speaking of glory. He was speaking of heaven. Where I am, my servants will also be there. That's the guarantee. That's the promise of the Savior. He not only gave the promise, but this is what Jesus prayed. Indeed, the night before the cross, in his great high priestly prayer in John 17, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Jesus prayed that we would be with him, present with the Lord, and one day we shall be. Paul had this confidence and assurance burning in his heart, as every believer has, as every one of you tonight, saved by the grace of God, have in your hearts, present with the Lord. When he wrote to the church at Philippi, he stated that such a moment, such an experience, such a transportation would be far better. Far better. Far better than anything we know about in this life. Even our greatest experiences of heaven and earth. And you know those times when the Lord is near. Every believer, surely we have had that experience. You know those times when the Lord's blessings have been showered upon us. You've known his presence to be so real, so wonderful. We are lifted into the heavenlies to fellowship with him. He brings us into the banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. Heaven comes down, our souls to greet, and glory crowns the mercy seat. The songs of Zion are so blessed, and his word is so precious, and prayer is so moving. You know those times. It's far better than any of these when we go to be with Christ. We're present with the Lord, and Paul said it's far better when that happens. He's talking to one of our elders, not in this church, but from another church there just a week or so ago. And he was telling me, as he was sitting meditating upon the Word of God, he just had a wonderful experience of the presence of Christ, the Lord coming near. And he was so overwhelmed, he just began to cry. And as he looked up, he could see even the very clouds and almost the face of Christ in glory in heaven. It was just a wonderful time for him when, reading the scriptures, the Lord drew graciously near. And there's coming a better day. When we're present with the Lord, it'll be far better than anything that we have experienced in this life. And here's what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Tell me, when it comes to your testimony and your experience, what will it be? How will you fare? Where will you go? With whom shall you meet? Will it be present with the Lord? Will you open your eyes and see him, your blessed Savior, the one who loved you and gave himself for you? Are you able to sing as Carrie Breck wrote, "Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me?" For if you are, what a day. A glorious day that will be. I'm going to fly away someday to the arms of Christ, to the world where the Lamb has all the glory. It's Emmanuel's land. It's not present with the patriarchs. And no doubt that'll be something. Don't you want to meet them? Those that we've read about in Old Testament scriptures, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the great men of God that we read about in Old Testament scriptures. It's not present with the apostles, those men who were privileged to be with Christ in his earthly ministry. Don't you want to meet with Peter, James, and John and the other men too? Going to be a wonderful day when we get to glory. We're able to talk things over in the by and by with these great men of God. It's not present with the heroes of the faith. And you go out into the fellowship area and around the wall, we have men and women from various periods of church history that were used of God in so many different ways. It's not present with the early church fathers or the martyrs or reformers or those great revival preachers. No, not even present with our families. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day when I'll be present with my loved ones who have gone on before. I have people to meet. I have people to be reunited with in glory. And that day shall come and we look forward to it. No, my friends, it's present with the Lord. Jesus Christ, who loved me so. The blessed Lamb of God who came into this world of sin and shame to live and die for me. To go all the way to the cruel cross of Calvary. To bleed and agonize and to pay the price for my sin. That blessed Savior who endured the cross, despising the shame, who came to deliver me from hell itself, to bring me as his son to glory, where I shall spend eternity, the countless ages, basking in the radiant splendor of his glory. Oh, to be present with the Lord. What a glorious thought. And that's what really makes heaven. Not the descriptions and their beautiful descriptions that the Bible gives to us and the glory of that place in so many ways. But what really makes heaven is Christ. Is our Savior. Is to be with him. His presence. And then Paul speaks about desire. You notice the little phrase that he uses, willing rather, here in the 8th verse of our text. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be present, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. All to reach this place in the journey of life. Alas, the ties on earth are so strong, aren't they? Our love for our family and our friends, our home, our pastimes, our enjoyments, our employments, and even the service of God, but love to serve the Lord. How often we have failed to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to look full in his wonderful face, because it's only then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The pull of gravity is often stronger than the pull of eternity. You know what I mean by that? The loves that we have in this life, the attachments that we are so fond of in this life, in this world, such a pull they have upon us, that pull for eternity, to go to heaven, to be with Christ forevermore, is maybe not what it ought to be. However, Paul declares his deep longing and desire of heart, willing rather, he says. And he spoke about the struggle in that passage that I read to you in Philippians chapter 1, where he spoke about the work on earth, the need to be here upon the earth. There was that battle in the heart of Paul, the missionary, the preacher, the pastor. He had a pastor's heart. And on that occasion, he speaks of how it was more needful for him to remain and to be there for the encouragement and the help of God's people. But there was that pull. Nonetheless, he wanted to be with the Lord, which he said is far better. Sometimes it takes a great trial and suffering and pain to make us long for heaven and home and to be with Christ, which is far better. We sort of mentioned that this morning, but it is so. And I've sat at the bedside of those who were dying and suffering pain at times. And they just got to that place where they wanted to go to glory. They say, I want to go home. And there in the hospital ward, when they spoke of home, they were not speaking about their earthly house, going home to their family. No, it was going home to be with the Lord. Maybe it's only then when the trials come and the pressures of life arise that we feel that way. But Paul says, willing rather, I want to be absent from this body and I want to be present with the Lord. That was his desire. Now, if I was to continue with this message tonight, and I will not, I might mention a few other things in this chapter. He speaks about determination in verse 9. He says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. I trust that you've got that kind of determination in your life, that you're going to be accepted by the Lord, and you are working to that end as you live. In verse 10, I think there's deliberation here as he speaks about the great judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. According to that, he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And every child of God will stand at that seat one day. It's the day of judgment for the believing people of God. And in verse 11, there's a duty here that he speaks about. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And I trust that God, in the light of the terror of God, will help us to persuade men to turn to Christ. Can I take a moment just now at the close of this service to persuade you, to urge upon your heart the necessity of being right with God, knowing the terror of God, knowing that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Can we persuade you to turn from your sin and turn to Christ tonight? Believe in the Lord Jesus for the saving of your soul. Oh, I pray that even this Sabbath day there will be those who will meet with Christ in this way. And will be saved by grace. Paul's focus on the future, to be with Christ, present with the Lord. Tell me, what's your focus? What's your ambition? What's your desire of heart, right in here? The thing that really occupies you first and foremost. Is it like Paul? Willing, rather, to be present with the Lord? Are you going to heaven? Are you ready for the home beyond the skies? Can you sing in that lovely hymn that we quoted, when we all get to heaven? What a day of rejoicing that will be. Are you included in the number of the all there? You can sing that with confidence. Yes, preacher, I'm going there. I'm going to be in glory. What a day that's going to be for the believing church. But perhaps you're out of Christ and you're not saved tonight. And you can't say those words and you can't sing them because you're not going there. It's not going to be a day of rejoicing. Turn to the Savior. Come to know him. And you can do that right now. You can find mercy and grace in the eyes of the Lord just where you're sitting. Let's pray. Lord, give us a greater focus upon who we are and where we're going. Bring us to the place of desire, where we're able to say in truth in our hearts, willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Speak to your people and speak to the unconverted who are not going to heaven, and it will not be absent from the body and present with Christ in glory. It will not be far better for them, for they will descend into the depths of a lost eternity without Christ and without hope forever. O God in mercy, speak to those who are still in their sin. And this very night, may they turn to Christ. For now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We know that we must needs die. There will be that moment when it will be said of us, it's absent from the body. Lord, I pray that preparation will be made. And every soul in this building and every other listening in on sermon audio on Facebook tonight will prepare to meet God, be found in Jesus Christ, clothed in his righteousness and washed in his blood, right with God and ready for heaven. Hear this, our prayer. Separate us now with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. May God go with you as you go home this evening. Thank you for worshiping here at Hebron. And you will be shown out in an orderly fashion. Thank you.